You are listening to the Drew and Jay podcast brought to you by 21 Media Productions. He is Drew Lasker. I am Jay Marriott. This is a mini version of episode 20 because actually episode 20 will drop as International Women's Day, but we have a dead week. We have a few things to catch up on. Drew, let's just jump in. Short format of the pod today. What are we talking about?
Yeah, I just think for me is, Jay, as we come from this break, a lot of guys have been able to hit the reset button because of the international break. I've seen that a lot of guys have been able to go on vacation. They've been able to go home to America. And so I think we'll see a lot of players rejuvenated, knowing that when they come back, first of all, it'll be close to spring, and they know that they're pretty much 2 months away from being able to go back home and go into the offseason. So I think if we just talk about, I want to talk about what I want to see from a rejuvenated player perspective and team perspective. And I think we maybe touch on the All-Star game a little bit as the starters have just been announced.
Sounds good to me, my man. Yeah, let's kind of get into it. I know I agree with you. I'm hoping in this break everybody gets a little bit of a fresh perspective that this is really going to heat up.
It's the real deal.
Every single position of the league, you know, a lot of people have put a dampener saying that London have run away with it. But, you know, in my opinion, everything that's happening underneath is really exciting because I haven't seen Cheshire have come sprinting out of the gates. They seem like they're running down the road with that second place. But we've seen other teams themselves, you know, in free fall at the moment and need to catch themselves and kind of recalibrate. So I'm excited.
Yeah, I mean, I think for me, Jay, is now that we know, and you're absolutely right, like there's so much to look for, is that I want to know, like, who's the third best team? We know right now is Cheshire. The way that they're playing, but Newcastle's starting to play well. They've been playing well for a while. They're getting healthy. Leicester is strong as well, even though they had that loss at Plymouth, but we know that was probably a schedule loss. Caledonia now, we talked about it last episode. They got Kwade Green, and so he totally changed their trajectory. And Surrey, you know, there's been a lot of heat out there involving yourself, but at the end of the day, you've just holding that organization accountable, and you've been talking about sixth place, and I've seen their fans saying that, you know, you should be happy with eighth. And I'm like, don't get me wrong, like eighth place would be a success in making the playoffs, but with that talented team, why not aim for more? And then we're going to be able to see, what is Plymouth and Manchester going to be able to do? Is their season over? Are we going to see one last swing and fight from those guys? But for me, Jay, I want to see the attention to detail. And for me, it starts with the coaches. And because everyone has played each other 1,000 times now, you got access to YouTube. We have more access than ever. You can watch every single dribble and every single player. So moving forward, these last 2 months, as we hit the meat and potatoes, you know, guys shouldn't be able to do what they want to do. Like Aaron Rye, I want to see teams make him take a one dribble pull up. I don't want to see him shooting step back threes or getting all the way to the basket. I want to see guys guard Jordan Johnson without fouling. Make the bigs beat you. Don't let those guards beat you. You know, I want to be able to see, and I can go on and on down the list. I want to be able to see Teddy Buckets being denied the basketball and letting somebody else beat you. Teddy Buckets isn't going to score 30 on me. It's going to have to be a Myron Thomas or someone like that. And so for me, it's taking away what everyone loves to do and making them do something else. You know, you're not going to stop great players. I think the game has changed slightly from when I was involved during the Eagles' heyday, and there was always somebody on the court that we would say, okay, we want this guy. We're going to take the basketball out of Zaire Taylor's hands. We're going to make the forwards beat us. And I think the forwards have gotten so much better that you can't really go down that route anymore. However, it's still a case of that you can make some – everyone has someone on their team that, okay, yeah, you're a solid player, but let me see if you can score 25. Let me see if you can score 30. But what I'm not going to let you do is your main guys – beat us. And so I want to see more attention to detail on individual scout, on team scout. I want it to be clear when I'm watching games that, okay, Newcastle is trying to take away this from Caledonia. London Lions is trying to make Cheshire do this. And so I want to get back to the X's and O's and really like the finer details of the game during this final stretch.
Yeah, and I think just to sort of add on to your point, you're absolutely right. You know, we we want to see more in that area. But also as well, like just some composure going into those fourth quarters. You know, how many teams have we seen? And you've been, you know, you've been active on the Twitters in terms of it drives you crazy. It's a real bone of contention with you when you see that. You know, I think that's been the difference, especially down the bottom half of the table. But we have seen it at the top as well. You know, like we've just seen that poor execution. So I'm hoping to see, as much as your X's and O's in terms of trying to stop those teams, is starting to refine what some of those teams are going to take into the playoffs as their firepower for their run. So I'm kind of excited to see that. I think my main point that I'm looking forward to is, what is the impact of those European competitions going to have on different teams? And, you know, I'll be really interested to see what that, you know, I think Bristol are in 3-4 because, you know, the squad depth isn't quite there to be able to cope with that schedule. It's been tough on them. I would say that a lot of guys are tired. So a nice break here and a nice reset might help them no end. You know, we know the Eagles as well, you know, they've got to hone in on there and they can't, with everything that's going on around them, they can't really drop the ball in terms of taking their eye off of that to make that a priority. And then, you know, how London deal with it again, you know, I think in terms of rotations and things like that going into that final, it really affected them as well. And we're only just starting to see, right, finally starting to see Matt Morgan let off the leash again and actually wreaking havoc in the BBL. So, you know, I'm hoping for, you know, tighten up in the fourth and let's see what the impact of those competitions is going to have on the league table itself.
And speaking of London, you know, also I don't want to take them off the hook. Obviously they have the biggest budget, the most talented team in the league. And what I want to see now that their schedule is settled, right? Like we talked about it, they had 48 games before Valentine's Day, and now they're pretty much on a 1-a-week schedule. Not very many games left. They have a win a go home game in the Euro Cup competition, and I want to see them take that same approach, the attention to detail in the Euro Cup, into the British Basketball League. Not saying that they've taken an eye off the league, because they haven't. That's not what I'm saying. But I just want to see that same urgency in regards to the scouting report, just like we talked about. Like, you know, a lot of games I see London beating teams due to talent, but I want to be able to see what their game plan is defensively as well, in regards to what they're taking away from other teams. And it's been tough because they've been on an NBA schedule, and it's very difficult to focus on teams when you're playing 3 or 4 games a week. But now that excuse is out the window. So now I really want to see what Coach Petar Bozic has in his bag. And it's going to be important, because going into the playoffs for London, there's no excuse, right? They have to win the playoffs after what happened to the trophy, right? They said they hear the noise. And so I want to be able to see them take that next step as well.
Yeah, well, coming out of this break, we certainly are hoping for improvements, just like here on the podcast. Drew, well remembered. Remember the coach's name. See, we get better. We get better every week, my man. We get better every week. I want to drop you in to the All-Star game. Obviously, the rosters have been announced, or the starters anyway. Let it be seen. And, you know, there's a little bit of controversy out there in terms of the picks and different selections. You know, give me some thoughts in terms of seeing this be announced. Has the disappointment of the NBA All-Star game dampened your enthusiasm for this All-Star game? And then lastly, just give me one name that you think dropped out of the final 10 that was selected that was an absolute must.
Yeah, no, I'm glad that you brought this point up, because I touched on it slightly on Twitter, and there's so much noise surrounding the All-Star game. And what I found very ironic, Jay, is that, you know, the main culprits who were complaining about the process were the main people that said that they didn't care about the All-Star game and how it was such a waste of time. And so, you know, I went on Twitter and I was vocal about it. I was like, if it's such a waste of time, you know, why do you guys even care about the process of it? And so everyone's complaining that it was of who got voted in. And my thing to the fans, Jay, is that get mad at yourself. It was in the fans' hands. It wasn't in our hands. It wasn't in the team's fans. You, the fan, got the opportunity to vote. And, you know, and about 5,000 fans voted, if I'm not mistaken. And I'm just going off the numbers that I heard in the town meeting at the time, is over 4,000 for the men's, 2,000 for the women's. And 5,000 votes, I think, is incredible for year one, first of all. You know, some people also compared it to the NBA. And I'm like, because the NBA, they have weighted votes, right? They take the media, they take the coaches, and they take the fans. But this is a new process for the NBA. I would say like 2 or 3 years old, because it was always a fan vote until it got out of hand. And my thing is, this is the British Basketball League's first year doing this. And so let's not make it a big deal, because it's not a big deal. Let's see how it all shapes up.
Just enjoy it.
Yeah, just enjoy it. We'll work on the technicalities. Technicalities, there we go, on it.
I got you, brother.
In a future date. But for now, let's just enjoy it. You know, if I think about, you know, someone who probably got snubbed, I'll start with the South, because, you know, everyone was going off about Decker getting selected. But listen, Decker didn't select himself.
I called it.
You did call it. And that shocked me. But at the same time, I don't see it as a loss, Jay. I see it as a win-win. First of all, the fans are showing their appreciation for Sam Decker. And first of all, I think we need to put some respect behind his name, because we have to understand that this is a guy that came to the British Basketball League during the prime of his career, and he brought some credibility to our league by coming. And so, you know, think of the other people that's been able to follow him and the other people that's coming behind. So for him to be able to get an all-star bid, it's not a big deal. It's maybe us just saying, hey, thank you for what you've done for us. So as a league, don't get too big for our boots and think we're too good for Sam Decker now. So let's pump the brakes on that. And second of all, he's not going to play, so it's not a big deal. So it's a win-win. He gets the recognition from the fans, and then also he'll get replaced. And I think that replacement needs to be, if I look at it right now, I don't see anybody from Manchester or Plymouth, although TJ Atwood was high up there on the votes. But for me, I got to go with Tevin Ollison, just because of how he started the season. He had a little ankle injury earlier, but he, ever since probably about February last year, he has taken his game to another level, and I think he deserves a bid. And so I would say, I wouldn't call him a snub, Jay, because I think ultimately he gets selected. But I would say, if we're just judging, just to answer your question, Ollison got snubbed.
Yeah, I mean, snubs will come, I think, when we understand the bigger picture and the full side of things. The thing about Sam is, you're absolutely right, and that was my point, is that he's probably not going to play, or definitely not going to play, but he's going to be there, he's going to go out, he's going to wave to the fans. He's our bona fide star from last season. You know, it's unfortunate he hasn't been able to get as healthy as he was last year, this year, but, you know, this is a bona fide NBA guy. You know, he's got games under his belt. And, you know, he was tearing up Europe too. So respect to Sam Decker. I think for me, like you said, let's just enjoy it. Let's just enjoy it. Let's be open-minded, you know, and afterwards, then we can have a little bit of reflection and see what kinks we got to iron out. You know, I'm really intrigued, and I've tried to put zero expectation on it. You know, like, All-Star Game's not really my thing, but I think we've needed it. Especially with now this coverage from the States, like something needs to translate, and that translates. People understand what that means and what the gravity is. For me, if I think there's like a player that got massively overlooked, and for me right now, I think he is the best point guard in the British Basketball League, and that's LaQuincy Rideau at the Cheshire Phoenix. He just seems to have got better every time I've watched him, and he just grew in the finals into a beast that really couldn't be handled. You know, when you're talking about how London were trying to, you know, they were almost trying to scramble in the finals as to find a way to really pull him out of his rhythm. Do you get physical with him? Do you get off his body slightly? You know, seems to have cured the jitters at the free throw line that he had early in the season. I mean, I just watch him and just think, wow, you know, Quaddy Green came into that game recently and decided to go straight at him, and Rideau said, nope, you know, like, I'm not having it. You know, I'm the guy. So, you know, hopefully he gets his flowers and he gets picked and gets pulled in there.
And you know what else, Jay, is that is he's very humble as well. He put in the comments a couple of weeks ago, like prayer hands, and he was like, "I've got the respect of Drew Lasker," and I was like, "Wow, okay." Not that I matter, not that my opinion matters, but you know what's funny is that, you know, Jay, like as we watch these games, there's just some guys that you just don't pay attention to. And Rodeau was a guy that I just didn't pay attention to early in the season. Like, I guess I was just blinded by his poor free throw shooting. And I was like, well, I can't take a point guard serious if they can't make free throws, because we know that's the guy that's going to have the ball in his hands at the end of the game. And so, like, I just didn't pay him any attention until just recently. And now, like, I can't take my eyes off of him. Like, he's tough. He kind of reminds
really
me
tough.
Of an old school mentality. Like, he's not afraid to compete. And so, yeah, man, he definitely has my antennas up. But just quickly on your last question that I didn't answer of you asked about what expectations do I have out of this game? I have no idea, but I know this. It won't be as poor as the NBA. And I kind of touched this on this last episode, is because these guys know that everybody will be watching. They got people watching back home in America, and they just gonna want to put. And then also, they, you know, you're looking for bigger jobs. You never know. This might be an opportunity. You could put All-Star MVP on your resume. Don't get it twisted. And so, you know, I actually see these guys will be going after it. I think it matters to them.
Well, you know, you heard it here first, guys. We just wanted a little brief catch up with you guys. You know, like, it's a quiet week. You don't want to be stressed with a full episode of us. You know, you just want to hear little bits and pieces just to get ready for next week. You know, as we said, you know, the race is hotting up now for the playoffs. Playoff positioning is going to matter. It's going to matter, especially when you come to that bottom rung of teams. I'm really interested to see, as you said, can people chase down Cheshire? Are Cheshire just going to stay red hot? People have doubted them all year. You've said yourself, Drew, like, you know, when's the cooling off period going to be? You know, right now it's been never. You know, can Caledonia start to really build and be taken seriously as a contender going into the end of the season? You know, Leicester, can they continue their streak? It's just so exciting. Can Sheffield and Bristol hold the skids? Can Surrey jump for that sixth spot? You know, will they want it? You know, these are all questions that we have.
Hey, Jay,
here.
Don't you talk about Surrey. We're going to settle for eighth place now. Push them to sixth place now.
I got to be careful. I don't want any more articles, but by the way, I will say this, apart from the cheap shots, the obvious ones, I really enjoyed the conversations. One guy I got to give a shout out to is Rob Hunt. You know, he has continued the conversations with me in the DMs and stuff like that. And it's just quality conversation. And that's what this league needs. We have to have these conversations. We have to talk about these things. You know, hopefully it will just continue to get better and better on the socials. Enjoying coming out of retirement. But let me just finish off with, we have to get to our give that player a nickname. Let's not forget Hoopin' and Lootin' right there. And this week's pick for me is going to be the Newcastle Eagles star that we've got to spend time with at International Women's Day, Katie Nolan. Tell us what you think. What should she be called? What's her nickname? And that's it for me this week. Short, sharp. Please check out the International Women's Day. It was incredible. Yvonne led us immaculately, should I say. And thank you as always for support. If you think your brand would benefit with some love on the pod, just jump into the DMs. Until then, Drew, hey, lead us out.
Yeah, and shout out to SoFab Sports, who is our Hot Topic sponsor. But yeah, guys, look out for that International Women's Day episode that is dropping on Monday. And then after that, we'll be back to regular schedule. Jay and I have had a little bit of a break, a refresher. You know what I mean? No holidays, but we're ready to finish this thing off strong. So make sure you guys come back and visit us. Leave a comment. Keep engaging with us on social media. And we will see you next time. Peace out.